welcome to Vision Scope, a program designed to educate and inform on matters relating to disabilities. My name is Wilbert Williams.
We have a very interesting program lined up for you today. Our guest is all the way from Nigeria. But, you know, Rocco, I think it's always better when the guests do the introductions, eh?
Absolutely.
We're going to ask Dorcas to tell us her full name and then a little bit about herself. Dorcas, why don't you just begin by introducing yourself?
All right. Good evening, everyone. I am Dorcas Atewe. I am 31 years old from Nigeria. I live in Lagos. I am a student studying in the University of Lagos, UNILAG, and I'm studying history, and I am currently in my second year. And I have like five other siblings. I stay with my mom. I'm a very open-minded and outgoing individual who loves to make friends, love to chat, love to travel, listen to music, watch movies. Not tall. Average, like, actually, I'm short. 5'1". And chocolate in complexion. And I'm an extrovert. Like, people always call me a social butterfly. And I'm totally blind. And I live with my mom. And that's just a little bit about me.
An excellent job.
I think she has done a wonderful job. That's fine.
Excellent job of describing.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know, Rocco, she has been listening to this program.
Well, you know what? She's a member of United Vision Connect for quite some time. So,
yeah. So she knows what's happening. Dorcas, you say you are totally blind. Were you born blind?
Yes, I was born blind with cataracts, and yes, my parent didn't realize that I could not see from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think it was when they were taking me to the nanny to look after me, and the nanny realized that I was always struggling to see, and it was reported to my parents. Then after that, they took me in for a surgery, and the cataract was taken away. I saw for some time, but when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I lost the sight to glaucoma, and I didn't know on time before I could realize the eyes have gone and I could not see anything again. Yeah.
All right. Let's stay with your early childhood. What was life like as a young blind child in Nigeria? Describe some of the activities that you had to deal with during that early age.
Okay. It was just somehow boring because, you know, I lost my sight at a very young age and I didn't really know how to do some stuff. And my mother was like this overprotective of me because she felt like the blind people will not be able to do anything. So I guess I was just all alone in my house, maybe still being sociable like I used to, because I'm a very social, I'm a very good talkative, I guess. So I wasn't really doing anything much. My mother was still scared. But later on, eventually, when I was introduced to the blind school in Lagos, I began to learn everything all over again, like how to read, write, and do other stuff. And, you know, my mother began having hope in me, and everything just changed. But it doesn't like change the treatment my parent gave me. They loved me anyways, despite the fact that I was blind. And I came from a I come from a strong Christian background, so you know, we're always praying every time with my dad. And but I realized that my dad was, you know, he was less strict with me because he realized that I was blind and he didn't want to be too hard on me compared to the time when I still had my sight as a child. So everything was just there because I.
What are some of the things you did as a young blind child? Did you play? Did you have many games with others? What I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't have any games. I didn't know anything. You get, because even when I was sighted, I was not in that game thing. Then to talk of being blind, I was just always singing. You know, as a child, I remember that I would always sing all the time, even when I was blind. And yeah, nothing really much happened. It was after I entered the blind school.
When did that change come about for you?
When I became blind?
Beginning to socialize and mixing. Did that?
Oh, yeah.
Did that the change. During your older school life or after school?
Okay. During my old school life, during my sighted life, I was always interacting with people. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was leaving my primary school, when they heard that I got blind, they really felt very bad. But that socialization never stopped. When I came into the blind school, I had to take my time to study everybody. And soon I was known for my singing, known for interacting with people, and just known for making people happy all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know? So you love to sing. Do you play an instrument?
Yeah, I used to play the trumpet. There was this teacher from England that used to come to my school there, and he taught me how to play the trumpet. And yes, I always sing. I mean, singing has always been the thing that brought me out wherever I go. And even till now, that's what is still happening.
All right. So what were some of your favorite subjects in school?
Okay, in the primary school, I loved CRK. That's Christian Religious Knowledge. I love social studies, and those were the things that I really loved. Then in my secondary school, I loved government, I loved literature, I loved history, and I loved CROK, home economics, foods and nutrition, and civic education. I was just mainly an arts person. Any subject that has to do with humanity. Humanities, I love them.
Talk to me a little bit about the school for the blind that you went to. What are things like at a school for the blind in Nigeria when you were there?
It was a whole new different thing, but I love the fact that everybody was treated the same way. There was no preferential treatment, and we're being taught a whole lot of things. And we're being taught how to read, write, watch, do everything. We're being taught our mobility. It was just good because you saw people like you. And, you know, it gave you the strength to relate and to come together to talk about your experiences as blind individuals. So I really liked it. I made friends, made memories. I remember then when it was time for outing, Everybody was always happy because, you know, they are leaving school. They are leaving the four walls of school. At least you get to experience another whole new environment for some time. It just made me happy. Yeah, so I had a good time in my blind school.
Mm.
Yeah.
During your days at school, did you find that the teachers were very kind to you, or you know, you had problems?
Yeah, like some teachers, we had issues. Some teachers, we didn't have any issues. But, you know, I learned that people are very different, you know. Just because people treat you kindly, that doesn't mean the rest will treat you kindly. But sometimes I always stood up for myself, you know. I didn't really mind. Okay, like there was a particular teacher when I was in primary six. He never liked me. Even before I even entered primary six, he just never liked me. But when I was in primary six and I realized I was about graduating, I had to call him and ask him, why don't you like me? And he just gave me one excuse like that. I'm like, okay. And ever since then, we became friends. You know, so I just, yeah, some teachers were very difficult to cope with, but I just always minded my business and do what was told. Those teachers, I knew better not to interact or joke with them like I do others. So, yeah, that's it.
What was the school population like in the school that you went to? How many students, roughly? Can you remember?
When we're not that populated, like 100-something students.
How many?
120 students, yes.
820 students?
Yes, 120 students.
Okay. And what, most of them boarded at the school, or?
Yes.
Day pupils.
No. It's a boarding school. It's owned by the Catholics, and it's a non fee paying institution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, the home and the school were kept separate, or they were integrated?
What do you mean? You mean my house, my home with my parents?
Management. Principal didn't have anything to do with the home or anything like that.
Sorry, I don't get you again, please.
No, the principal of the school, he didn't have anything to do with the running of the home.
Oh, yeah, she did. She did. It's a reverend sister. Okay. She did. She was good. The principal I had then, she was a very good person, but very, very firm and disciplined. Like, she was someone with good principles and good standard, and she really tried in that aspect to raise us well as children, punishing us when we did anything wrong, and, you know, encouraging us when we try our best. Yeah.
So how long have you spent at that school?
The primary school, I spent 6 years.
And then my secondary school. In high school.
Yeah, okay, in high school, I also spent 6 years as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our guest today is Dorcas Atewe. And Dorcas has been, you know, really educating us about life at a school for the blind in Nigeria. Dorcas, approximately, I don't know if you know this question, but approximately how many schools for the blind are in Nigeria?
A number of them, but it's not something that I have an idea of how many. I know that there are some in different states, but I don't know the exact number. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just aware of the one in Lagos. That's all.
That is the one that you are most familiar with.
Yes. Mm. Do you mind if I call the name?
But you have quite a few schools for the blind, do you?
What did you say?
You have quite a few schools for the blind in various states.
Of course, yes, mm-hmm. We do, yes.
All right. Talk to me now about what life was like when you realized that you had to leave school and enter the world, which is not always so friendly and so kind. What was life like?
Okay, you have to specify, like, is it like blind school or the high school? Oh, you know,
you left high school.
Yes. Okay. I want to state that the high school I went to was mixed, mm-hmm. with both sighted and, you know, blind people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really learned a lot when I was there. When I was leaving, I was a little bit like apprehensive. I was really skeptical. Like, God, how is the world outside going to be like? You know, I mean, yes, the high school was, you know, exposing me because there were sighted people there. But at the same time, I just felt like, okay, when I'm entering the university, I'm going to be independent. I'm going to be totally on my own. I'm going to have to be able to make decisions by myself. And I was really, really scared that maybe...
Were you scared? You were scared? Not...
Yeah, scared? I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was scared.
What?
Because I was like...
How did you overcome that?
What did I overcome in my school?
No, being afraid and all of that. How did you overcome all of that?
Well, my mother encouraged me. My siblings also encouraged me. And when I got there, when I got to the university, I also had people who helped me out and told me that life is not all that hard.
Mm.
And then I got used to it. And now here am I. I'm here.
How long have you been in the university now? In the university?
For 2 years now. Yeah.
So when you left school,
uh-huh.
in between going to university, in between leaving school and going to university, uh-huh. what did you do?
Okay, so let me explain to you, right? I left school in 2015. Now, 2016 or so, I think still that same year, I got admitted to school. I studied law, but law didn't work out well for me because there were certain challenges. So in 2019, I left school. And in 2020, I took an exam again. And in 2021, I started all over again. So it's like all my life is just all about school, 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 and stuff like that. Nothing really serious happened during that period of time.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just preparation and changing courses.
Yes,
and,
yes, exactly.
Yes. Talk to me now about university life. What has that been like for you, and how do you cope?
I must say it's not easy. I think for one to be in the university, you must be a strong person and you must be very disciplined, because university, you're on your own. You don't have that guidance of any school, like principal, or you don't have some, you know, like how the high school and primary school were like closely monitored. But over here, you are just an adult, like a real adult living your life. So I feel like I was able to cope through the guidance of my school, the high school I went to, because they taught us to be self-disciplined and to be responsible. And I think that has really helped me. I am glad that I got that that training, because if I hadn't, maybe I would just be like a lackadaisical in my attitude. But I guess I have been able to, I've just been able to cope and do my things correctly without anyone telling me what to do or where to go to. I think that's what really matters.
You have a lot of material to handle, eh? How do you cope with the material that you have? Because do you rely a lot on people to read for you, or do you have appliances that will read to you? How do you cope?
What I do is every time during the class, I record. I record with my phone for now, because I don't really have any recording device.
God bless the phone, eh?
Wow, that's
I'm saying that, the phone.
You know, Willie, that is so amazing, because I remember sometime, I think it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was talking to this girl from Nigeria, a friend of mine, and she was saying to me, same thing what doctors are saying. She actually was using the phone to take her notes. And to be honest with you, much as I'm very good with my phone, but the main fact to sit in a classroom to take notes and stuff like that on a phone, that would drive me nuts.
Yes. So
yeah,
it's a step in the right direction. I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, it used to be the very heavy cassette recorders.
Yeah, exactly. Like in my high school.
Mm-hmm. So, Dorcas, so you say in school, you didn't have like a reader or anything of such. Anything you do is on your phone you're using in university.
Okay. I read, and at the same time, when I know that I get to a place that I don't understand, I have friends who are there to read to me. And also, because of the blind people over here, our materials could be converted to PDF. So you either read it with your phone or your laptop. Mm. So that's just how we study, yes.
So in terms of doing the research and stuff like, what about internet connectivity? I reckon most of you guys use a lot of data and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. So there is a special library that was designed for blind people over here in my university. So as a blind person, when you go there, you find laptop, you find books that you can, you know, get to make your research and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't rely much on people to read to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I don't rely on many people to read to me like that, no. Because I have my materials and I have my recordings. Yeah.
What about exams? How did you manage?
Okay, yeah, exams. Every blind person over here use their laptop. I use my laptop to write my exams. And when I'm done, the work is copied, you know, into a flash and it's printed. That's how we write our exams.
Okay. All right, so you are currently in what year at university?
Oh, I'm in my second year.
In your second year.
Yeah.
When you graduate and you go job hunting, what kind of jobs are you going to be looking for?
I don't mind working with like foreign affairs, or I don't mind working with the government, or like being an ambassador or like a diplomat or something like that. Yeah, because I study history and strategic studies.
I like the goals that you are setting for yourself. They're very high standards.
Yeah. Yes, I tend to like also go into the media as well because, like, you know, I like to talk. I like to interact with people.
Yes.
Go into the media, help people to be aware of blind people and just talk about them, how they behave and what they want, and just be an advocate for them so that we have a voice.
Don't come in no
awesome
social life. This is a question that a lot of people don't like to put too much emphasis on, but I think it's very important. What do you do outside of studying?
Sing, watch movies, go for parties.
Party animal.
Do you say?
Are you a party animal?
I'm a party animal. Yes.
You love to dance?
Well, I don't know if I know how to dance, but I know how to move my body to the music.
Well, I'll tell you this, Willie. You can't really be a Nigerian or a Ghanaian and you know how to dance.
You know, we assume a lot, you know, because it's an assumption that if you're blind, you must be a musician. We can't make those kind of assumptions at all.
That is absolutely true.
So, Dorcas, talk to me about your social life.
You mean like
what when you go to parties, who you go with?
I could go with anybody. Female, male friends. I don't really have too many female friends like that. For me I prefer having male friends.
Do you have a lot of dates?
What do you say?
Do you get a lot of dates?
Every once in a while. Once in a while. Yes.
Tell me your honest view. Is it difficult for blind women to get dates? Or is it a problem?
Yes, it is.
What has it been like in your opinion?
It is very difficult. Very, very difficult. And I don't know why. I guess that would be the question that nobody can ever answer fully.
Mm.
But I just feel like dates for a blind person most of the time is really difficult because, you know, it's not all blind people that are interactive and open-minded.
Mm.
Some just like keeping to themselves, and maybe people want to approach them, they just ignore them, and they just want to move with their circle of friends. They don't want to make new friends. So I think that can be very, very difficult sometimes. Yeah.
In the Nigerian situation, what do you think blind women need to do to be more accepted in the society where dating is concerned? Is there anything that they need to do, or is it the kind of society where women must stay in the background?
My society is not the kind of society that women should stay in the background. No, I don't think Nigeria is like that, although some cultures are like that, but not necessarily all cultures. I think as a blind person, I think you should just build yourself up as a blind person. Have confidence in yourself. Dress well, appear nice, socialize with people, look presentable, and I think you are good to go.
But Dorcas, it's traditionally known that in some culture, and likewise within your country, well, I guess maybe the different tribe, or maybe it's a religious thing or something, I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
traditionally known as a woman, you know, there are certain things you can't really do. A woman should not really be seen. Men should always be the go-getter. Men should always be on the front line, and women come thereafter.
Well, I think now that, you know, things have changed, everybody's moving to the pace of this civilization and stuff, but I think that has changed because, I mean, you have some blind women really doing good, really getting good positions in their place of work, although it is still very hard because people don't still look past our blindness. So it is just too hard. But at the same time, you know, women are coming up. I think it's just a gradual process.
You have a lot of blind women in Nigeria who are making good progress, would you say?
Yes, that's what I said. Yes.
Tell me about families now. Families that can sometimes be overprotective. Do you find that your family still tends to overprotect you?
Yes, I think the reasons, yes, most families, they're still overprotective. And that's because they have this mindset that as a blind person, that we are very vulnerable. You know, I mean, we are in the state of help. We are in the situation of, like, you are always at people's mercy to do something. So that puts us, according to them, as in according to how they see us, that puts us in a vulnerable state, and they feel people are going to take advantage of us. So they feel the best way they can avoid that situation is to overprotect you. But sometimes they don't get it right, because I feel the overprotection does not expose your blind son or daughter. Rather, it just makes them like unaware. It just makes them look like they don't know what's going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like parents or family members should just try their best once in a while. There are certain age that when your child reaches, you should let your child be free a little bit to experience the world, to have memories to share when they are much older. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it.
But don't you find that overprotection can also prevent a youngster from reaching full protection, there's going to be a limit in how much he or she can achieve.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, There is, because of the fear of the parents. There is, you know, people like that, they don't really do well. They don't succeed. They don't go far.
About the kitchen? Are you any good in the kitchen?
Well, yes, I can cook. And I must state that I didn't really start cooking on time. I think I started cooking when I was in university. Somebody taught me how to cook, yes. So
university forced you to begin to cook for yourself, is that it?
What did you say?
The university forced you to begin to cook for yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. I had a blind friend. I had a blind friend who told me that, no, I must learn how to do these things. You know, and she taught me, and after that, you know, I became eager until I started doing things myself.
What are some of the foods can you cook, if you wish to tell us?
Jollof rice. I'm still learning. It's not all I could cook, but jollof rice, stew, beans, spaghetti. Those are the foods I could cook for now. And some Nigerian soups like egusi soup, okra. Yeah, so I'm still learning. These are the few that I know that I could make.
She's breaking the glass ceiling, Rocco.
I tell you, man, yes. Absolutely.
Talk to me now about dating. Are you sharing a date with anybody at this stage?
No, but that doesn't mean I don't get advances every day, but I've not just found the right person for me, and moreover, I just want to take my time, establish my life, get my education done first so that I'll get something doing for myself before I decide to enter into any relationship. For now, I just do not want any distractions. But I still have male friends, you know, every once in a while.
I want to probe a little bit more into your business.
Okay.
Dating for you. You talk about the right person. What are the qualities of a right person?
Trustworthy individual, loyal. Person that's loyal to the call, like very, very loyal, you know. I don't want someone that would just wake up or change his mind after 10 or so many years of being together. I just don't want anyone to be tired of me. I want real love, someone that will love me and love my imperfections. It's not like I need someone that's flawless. Trust me, everyone has their bad side, but I need a soulmate, someone that I could talk to about my day, my life, anything that has to do with my life without being judged. And someone that will just love me for who I am. I'm a very romantic person, so I need a romantic person as well. I love to be giving flowers, chocolates, gifts. I love a man who will make me breakfast in bed, take care of me.
Really? Well, hey, I hope the lucky guy is listening.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about your music love? Do you love music?
Of course, I love music. I started singing right from when I was a child.
What kind of genres do you like?
I love contemporary songs. I love songs from the oldies, like the little bit from the 80s, 90s. I love country songs. I love a little bit of gospel, inspirational songs, and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm not a fan of R&B like that.
Listen,
I don't know.
You listen to Tell It Like It Is. I'm using you as a sounding board. You listen to Tell It Like It Is quite a bit, do you? When you're not studying, you listen to Tell It Like It Is? Or you never get a chance to?
Should I be honest?
Yes.
Actually, I don't.
Pardon?
It's been a while. It's really, really been a while. Like,
so these days, I've been going to be redundant then, because I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
What do you think is preventing people from calling in?
I don't know. Maybe they are just shy. Or maybe they are just.
What prevents you? Start with you. I mean, what prevents you from calling in, would you say?
From calling the radio?
Yeah, from calling UVC Radio.
Okay. Okay, like I said, it's not every time I listen to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I were to listen to you guys, sometimes the connection is not always good. And sometimes there are some things or there's some program you hear. You just get overwhelmed and you don't really know what to say. Mm-hmm. And you just want to listen and just absorb everything. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Just want to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. My reason for asking that is that we have a fairly good listenership, but not the interaction is not what we would like.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If we're honest with ourselves, I think that is it. So I'm trying to find out as best I can.
Yeah, okay, I think,
people from...
okay, I think, like, you should just keep, you know, sharing the link to the radio for, mm-hmm. in every platform that you are. You know, if it's on Facebook, share the link, if it's on Twitter or anywhere, like, just mm-hmm. keep sharing, just keep share, sharing, and before share, you know it.
It will find its own level.
Yeah, and what did you say?
It will find its own level, eventually.
Yes, eventually, like when people take a listen, I think they'll get to, you know, fall in love with the programs. And maybe you guys should think of a program that's...
But you know, Willie, you get a fair amount of persons out in Nigeria normally listen here. You know? Yeah, we actually do.
Yes, I know. But
I think you guys...
wouldn't tell you that.
Okay, and I think that...
interact.
Okay. Mm. And what else, what I think is, I think like you guys should think of like a program or like something that you can do to captivate or to draw the attention of more listeners. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book?
To be honest, I'm not a book person. So, you're I barely read books. I love movies.
How can a
university
student say that?
I'm sorry. I mean, that's just me. I'm so sorry. I mean, the program is Tell It Like It Is, right? So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, of course. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm just, if it's for the hobby you're talking about, I'm a movie person. I don't I don't know how to read books. It makes me fall asleep.
Okay.
So I just prefer movies most of the time. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you say you love music. What is your favorite music album?
My favorite music album. I don't always know the names of all these albums, but my favorite singer. I love Celine Dion. She has a wonderful voice. I think I'm inspired by her when she sings. Mm. Yeah, that's it.
Do you play any games?
No. Okay, when I was sighted, I used to play the Ludo. I don't know if you know what the Ludo game is. It's like there's this dice and...
It's a board game.
What do you say?
It's a board game.
It's a board game. Why did you say that?
No, I'm saying it, asking you if it's a game that is played on a board.
Yes, on a board. Yes, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, and I used to play that when I was sighted, but now that I'm blind, I don't really do games anymore. I don't know why.
Listeners, we're back with you, and we just got a note from Kalisha. Kalisha is saying that Dorcas is an avid movie person. As soon as one movie is finished, she's finished.
yes. Wow. Yes. Absolutely. Yes, she is.
So thank you.
Her lack of reading books.
Yes, absolutely. I remember before the movies. Kalisha's right.
Movies. Yes. You did say that Walter wanted to come in. All right. Dorcas, you.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the issues you think facing blind people in Nigeria? What are some of the, give me three major issues that you think face blind people in Nigeria?
This issue I'm about to mention is really general, but we all know about discrimination. Every blind person faces discrimination everywhere, especially in the labor market most of the time. And this makes them very, very, like, you know, sad sometimes, because you're looking for a job or a particular place you want to work in. People can't accept you because of your disability. So it could be very heartbreaking sometimes. Number two, unavailability of some, you know, some devices, or like sometimes the devices that they use, or sometimes there's a form of technology that the blind people we need, it's not given to us here because either they're too expensive or people cannot just afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is I don't know. I mean, yeah, people are still really bothered about relationships and stuff like that. Nobody really wants to give people the chance sometimes. And I think it just makes them lonely. And I think those are the three problems.
You're of the view that most or a large number of persons who are blind in Nigeria are lonely people? Would you say that?
This question is very hard, but I will say some. Because I cannot say most, because like I don't know.
Without a survey.
Yes. So I'll say some people, yes.
Mm.
They're actually lonely.
Do you belong to an association of blind persons in Nigeria?
Yeah, we have the Nigerian Association for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a national group, but each state have their own chapters. So, like Lagos State, it has its own chapter, and other states. And also in my school, there's also an association for the blind in school, National Association of Nigerian Visually Impaired Students. That is the one for the school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the objectives of the National Association
for the blind? To like deal with matters that have to do with blind people in all aspects. Like, okay, I don't want to say in all aspects, but basically in like the social aspects, like maybe, and in the labor market as well, and just to be an advocate for the blind, like just to be an advocate for the blind and talk about issues that are affecting the blind people in their day-to-day life. Yeah, that's all. They also helping like providing like sometimes form of scholarship or like form of help to help the blind people in the society. Yeah.
What is your role in the National Association? Do you play any particular role? Or you're just a member?
I'm just a member, unfortunately. Yeah.
You consider yourself to be someone for future officer in the association?
Yes. Like, if definitely I want to go into any position or whatever, I don't mind being the PRO, yes, public relations officer, because I just like interaction. Oh, I just
we have a number of people in studio, don't we? I wonder if they have any questions they want to ask.
Okay.
Yes,
definitely, Mr. Oko.
Hi, Walter.
Hi, sir. How are you? It's been a minute.
I am pretty good. Any questions for our guest today?
Hello.
Good day. I would just like to say that, in terms of the challenges that you're having with technology, do you see them resolved anytime soon? Maybe made equal with the speed of the 21st century?
I don't think so, because, for example, some apps, there are some apps that are available to people outside Nigeria, and there are some apps that are, not available to us here. I feel like if Nigeria is more developed, I feel like most countries will want to work with us in the aspect of apps and technology. But if the country keeps on just being like a developing country, I feel like the problem is not going to be solved. I feel it's not going to be solved at all. Yeah. And I feel I'm listening.
And actually, because I just checked it a few minutes ago, Nigeria is actually now number 2 with the highest GDP in Africa.
With the highest what?
GDP, gross domestic profit in Africa. Oh. It's number 2. So it actually surpassed my country, South Africa, recently. So now we took the position of number 3.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like maybe since they are so advanced with technology, maybe the core issue is the economics. Like if we fix the economy of the country,
unfortunately, in the interest of time, we're going to have to deal with this another time, but I can't let Dorcas go without asking her to take the next few minutes and motivate our listeners. What would you say to our listeners that could motivate them?
I just want to say that they should just keep being strong. Pray to God every day to give you the strength to carry on with life, because trust me, being blind is not easy. It's not easy. As a blind person, there are just some limitations, there are just some challenges that we are bound to face. It's not rosy for everybody. It's not, you know. But I just want to encourage you to just keep being strong and keep being happy. Have the attitude of a resilient person. Because when you are resilient in life, you'll be able to get whatever goals you want to achieve. You'll be able to achieve that. That's it. Thank you.
If you have any questions or comments regarding this program, please address them to norwill2@gmail.com. That is norwill2@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and productive week. That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr.